Matthew chapter 26, I really had two different directions I was praying about going. One was an encouraging, nice, you know, fun type of, not fun, but, you know, just an encouraging type of way. And that's the one you guys would have preferred, but that's not the way the Holy Spirit led tonight. But anyway, Matthew chapter 26, look at verse number 69. Matthew 26, verse 69. We are going to use our Bibles quite a bit tonight. I'm going to show you some things here from the Word of God that I think will help you if you'll let it. If you don't let it, it's not going to help you. Pretty common sense stuff. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Verse 71, and when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow also was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by him, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I'm going to give you seven steps in Peter's fall tonight. Seven steps in Peter's fall. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight. Lord, I want to be a help to these folks. Lord, I know I'm not Pastor Jerry. Lord, I know they was, Lord, expecting probably to hear Pastor Jerry. But Lord, he's out in Rhode Island, Lord, being a blessing, Lord, to Lord, Brother Chapman's church out there. And Lord, thank you for Pastor Jerry. What a tremendous leader he is. What a tremendous pastor he is. Lord, thank you for his wisdom. Thank you for his, Lord, boldness when he preaches. Lord, I want to stand, Lord, and be, Lord, in his place tonight, but Lord, be a help to these folks. Lord, what dear folks they are. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit power. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, to learn some things from your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. I want everybody to listen very close and pay close attention to me, all right? If you listen and heed what's taught, I'm guaranteed you're going to save yourself some trouble down the road. All right? I guarantee you're going to save yourself some trouble down the road. Tonight, we're going to look at Peter's fall in a chronological fashion. We're going to go down through his life exactly as the events happened. We're going to look at him in a chronological fashion. And let me say before I get into the message some, I think Peter was one of the great men of God in the Bible. I really do. I mean, look at Peter's life from the time that he come on the scene, you know, with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, come follow me, until the day he's preaching, day of Pentecost, and after that in the book of Acts. I mean, listen, folks, the things he accomplished were just tremendous. And I know he had downfalls, but who doesn't? Now, listen, a just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. I mean, he had downfalls. You and I have downfalls, but you know what? You know, it's how you handle that downfall that really determines who you are. All right, Peter here. You know what? He's certainly not sinless. Wasn't perfect. He was. We're going to look at tonight his fall. All right, he had faults just like all of us do. He did not allow his failure to sideline him from service to the Lord. All right. By the way, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Don't listen, folks. If you fall. Not if you fall, when you fall. When you fall, you're going to fall. When you fall, do not allow it to sideline you from service to God. Amen. Don't allow that, all right? Just don't allow it. Just get back up, keep on going. Now, let's think about Peter for a few minutes. Peter here was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he was one of the inner three disciples. Peter, James, and John, inner three disciples. Peter here is privileged to walk and talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is privileged to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ personally, sitting learning from him, from Jesus teaching day after day. He personally works with the Lord Jesus Christ and helps Jesus in his earthly ministry here on earth. Peter experienced the closest relationship other than probably John and, you know, other than probably John, the beloved disciple. He experienced probably one of the closest relationships that anybody could experience with the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. Peter walked closely beside the Lord Jesus Christ throughout his entire earthly ministry. What an opportunity. Peter was there and watched Jesus perform the miracles that we look at and that we read about and that we love listening to. He saw the blind eyes being opened. Peter saw that happen. Peter saw deaf ears be made to hear again. He saw the lame made to walk. He saw the dead, Lazarus. Remember, he saw Lazarus raised back from the dead. Can you imagine that? I mean, seeing that take place. You know, I mean, come, Lazarus, come forth. And boom, man, he just comes walking out of that thing in his grave clothes, you know. I mean, that'd be amazing to see that. Peter saw these things happen. He saw the multitudes fed with only a handful of food. He saw those with disease made whole again. He saw the lepers made clean. He saw all those things take place with his very eyes. Yet here when we come to Matthew chapter 26, in our text passage, we find Peter on the bottom. We find him on the bottom. He's fallen. He's gone so far that he has actually turned his back on the Savior. By the way, who would soon, in just a few moments, he was going to die for Peter and die for all of us, by the way. But he's turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's walked away from God. He's sinned against God. And when I think about that, I ask this question. I say, man, how in the world did that happen? How did Peter go from what he was to now, this night, this day here, denying the Lord Jesus Christ? How did that happen? How did someone who served God with such intensity and emotion, how did someone who walked as closely as Peter did with the Lord, how did he come to the place where Peter was actually cursing, swearing, and denying the Lord Jesus Christ? I've also often asked that same type of question about Christians. How in the world did somebody who used to serve God like they did, how did somebody who used to teach a Sunday school class for the years and years and years and years that they did, how did somebody who used to do this and used to do that, how are they where they're at tonight? You guys with me tonight? How did this happen to Peter? How in the world did this happen? These Christians, you know what, they're no longer in church. They're no longer in service to the Lord. They no longer walk with Him daily. They no longer have even a desire to hear from Him, even a desire to come to church anymore. How in the world did that happen? I find myself asking that same question about Christians, that just the same question as we ask about Peter here in Matthew 26. How in the world did he go from service to self-pity? How did he go from a courageous servant of the Lord to a carnal Christian denying the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer to that question, folks, is found in the story of Peter here. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. By the way, listen, folks, the ingredients are always the same. The ingredients are always the same. You show me a Christian who, you know what, they used to do this and they used to do that. They're one of these used-to-be Christians. They used to teach a Sunday school class, used to work on a bus. They used to, you know, work in Master Club. They used to be in a nursing home. They used to go soul winning. They used to. You're going to find the same exact ingredients in their life as you're going to find in Peter. I guarantee you. All right, so let's look at it. Number one, I'm going to give you seven steps in Peter's fall. Seven steps in Peter's fall. Listen very carefully. Brother Gerald, what's the first step that Peter took? What's the first step that Peter took? I'm going to give you seven words tonight. Seven, that's eight. Seven words tonight, all right? I do that all the time at Victory. I'm like, you know, you guys need to get this, all right? And I'll point at myself or something. So anyway, if I do that, just laugh and go on because I'm crazy, all right? Number one, what's the first step that Peter took? Number one, he took a step of pride. He took a step of pride, all right? That's the first step in this downward spiral, this downward slide that Peter's on here. Look back at Matthew chapter 26, verse number 33. Matthew 26, verse number 33. Let's let the Word of God teach us tonight, all right? Matthew 26, verse number 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Let's understand what's happened here, folks. You guys understand what's happened here? Earlier in this chapter, Jesus has just had the Last Supper with his disciples. They had eaten the bread, and they had drank the juice, and they had sung a hymn together, all right? Jesus then takes them out to the Mount of Olives en route to Gethsemane. Jesus stops, and he says to his disciples, all right? By the way, listen, folks, did you hear what I said? Jesus, the Son of God, stops, and he addresses his disciples. This is what he says. Look at verse number 31. Back up a couple verses. Jesus says this to his disciples, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Jesus tells his disciples, every single one of you are going to be offended because of me. All right, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Jesus tells these men, these disciples, that prophecy is about to be fulfilled. He is going to the cross, he's going to die, and his disciples are going to be scattered abroad. That's when Peter, as soon as Jesus says, hey, all of you are going to be offended because of me, that is when Peter, with a proud heart, questions and corrects the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Jesus, the Son of God, has just told you something. And you question and you correct God. That's what he does. That is exactly what he does here. Look what he says. Though all men, Jesus has just said, all of you are going to be offended because of me. Peter says this, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be. Jesus, you're wrong. Isn't that what he said? Jesus, you're wrong. When you correct the Son of God, what do you have? You got pride in your heart, man. I mean, listen, only a proud person can stand up and say, God, you're wrong, I'm right. That's what's happening here, folks. He's proud. He's got pride in his heart. Listen, folks, Jesus, this, by the way, this wasn't Jesus' opinion. Jesus, this was a fact. He could see into the future, and he could see that these disciples are all going to be offended because of him. He's just speaking the truth to these guys, all right? And yet Peter here, how proud he was, how arrogant he was. Peter allows pride into his heart, and that's the first step that he takes in this downward spiral. Step number two. Let's look at this one. Step number two. I call this the step of ease. The step of ease. E-A-S-E. The step of ease. All right, let me explain. Look on down at Matthew chapter 26, verse number 40. You guys know what happens here. Jesus is now in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, chronological order all the way down through this thing. Jesus is now in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, the band of men, with the centurions. While we are speaking, they are getting ready to come and take the Lord Jesus Christ prisoner and eventually onto Calvary. All right, the step of ease here. Let's look at what happens. Jesus tells his disciples here to sit in a certain spot while he goes on a ways and prays. He takes with him who? Remember who he takes with him? Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John, the inner three. All right, he gives these guys, these inner three, Peter, James, and John, a command. Verse number 38, look at it. Matthew 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus knows what's going to happen here in the next few minutes, in the next few hours. He is exceeding sorrowful. He asks his closest inner three disciples, guys, I need you to stay here. And guys, this is the pressure that I'm under. I need you to pray for me, man. I tell you what, this is an exceeding sorrowful situation I'm in. I need some help here, guys. He asks him to pray for him. Peter was one of those three that Jesus asked to pray for him. Jesus leaves those three. He goes on a little further. He prays his Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done prayer. He prays that prayer. He returns to Peter, James, and John. Are they praying? What are they doing? You know what they did? They took the easy way out. They took the easy way out. They took a step of ease here, all right? Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. Look at it, verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto who? Peter. Saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He says to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Peter, what's the problem here? Peter had taken a path of ease. He had taken the path of little effort, or no effort in this case. He couldn't even put forth an effort to keep himself awake long enough to help his Savior watch and pray. He couldn't even do that. It's all right. Jesus had given him a simple command. Guys, I just want you to stand here. I just want you to sit here and pray for a little while. He took the path of effortlessness, though. He took the path of ease. He took the path that, don't miss this, was most comfortable to him. I wonder how many times we as Christians, when given a specific command from God, don't lose me now, folks. I wonder how many times we as Christians, when we are given a simple command from God, take the path of ease. We don't do what God has commanded us to do because it's going to be a little bit difficult. It's going to be a little bit hard. We're commanded to read and study His Word. You guys understand that? Thy Word have I hid in my heart, then I might not sin against God, right? We're commanded to read His Word. We're commanded to study His Word. Yet when the morning time comes, Path of Ease says, you know what, hit the snooze button and get another 15. You taking the path of ease, Christian? Hey, soul, when the time comes, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. We're commanded to go soul winning, right? Yeah, when Wednesday comes and when Saturday comes and when soul winning time comes, the path of ease says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay at home and I'm going to do whatever it is I'm not doing, or I'm going to do whatever it is I do when I'm not serving God, when I'm supposed to be serving God. You do that instead. All right? You guys with me tonight? Are we taking a path of ease? This is the same step that Peter takes here. Listen, folks, by the way, Brother Gerald, it's not that big a deal. Can I deal with something quickly? Listen, folks, when Jesus gives us a command to do, and we don't do what Jesus has commanded us to do, what's that called? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Listen, folks, it is a huge deal. It's a sinful deal, all right? Peter here, you know what? Listen, folks, Peter to not stay there and watch and pray what the Lord Jesus Christ had commanded him to do, for him to not do that and to fall asleep was a sin. That's exactly what it was. He didn't just fall asleep and no big deal. You know what? It was a sin against God, all right? Listen, folks, it may be a little tough. It may require a change. It may require some effort. Listen, folks, I don't care what your reasoning is. I don't care why you don't do what God told you to do. You know what? It's a sin. And it's a sin with all of us, all right? Now, the truth of the matter is, you know what? Peter here takes a step of ease, all right? Be careful about taking those steps of ease in your life, all right? We live in a too comfortable society, don't we? I mean, listen, folks, if it ain't easy and if it ain't comfortable, we don't do it, man. I mean, listen, I've been trying to lose weight. man, I'll tell you what, that's hard. And you know what I found myself doing? I found myself having to actually tell my flesh, flesh, you know what? You're not, and this is one of the hardest things that I've done. Flesh, you know what? You're not going to grab that Mountain Dew. You're not going to grab that Coke. You know what? You're going to get a bottle of water. That's hard. It ain't comfortable. Man, I love Mountain Dew. You can ask any of these guys I was in school with and working with, all right? They know I love Mountain Dew. But you know what? Listen, folks, if it ain't comfortable, we don't do it. If it's not easy for us, you know what? We don't do it. We don't do anything that's hard nowadays, all right? God gives some people that say, you know what? I don't care how hard, I'm doing it, all right? Number three, here's the next step. First of all, he allowed pride in. Second of all, he took the path of least resistance. He took a step of ease. Number three, what's the third step, Brother Gerald? Number three, rashness. Take your Bible and turn to John 18. Hold your place in Matthew 26, but turn to John 18. I want you to see this while you're turning. I'm going to grab a drink. John chapter 18. This passage here is dealing with the same time period. We're switching books, but it's the same exact time period, chronological order. Peter and the other disciples, they're with Jesus. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just a short while after, Peter was caught napping. This is just a short while after that. Should have been watching and praying. Jesus catches him sleeping. Here we see the third step that Peter takes towards this fall. John chapter 18, verse number 10, look what it says here. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath the cup which my Father hath given me. Shall I not drink it? The third step that Peter took here was the step of being rash or hasty in his decision-making, or unwise, I could use that word, or foolish, all right? Peter here acts very foolishly. Turn back to Matthew 26. Now follow me, folks, stay with me. We said that Peter here acted very foolishly. How so, Brother Gerald? Let me show you. Very simply, listen very carefully. Jesus had already communicated to these disciples, Peter included, the fact that he was soon going to go to the cross and pay the sin debt for all the world. He had communicated that to him already. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know, Matthew 26, verse number 2 now, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover. This is before all of this stuff is taking place. Jesus is communicating to them what's going to happen in the next few days. All right? Listen to what he says. Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. He says, guys, the feast of Passover is in 2 days. After that, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. After the feast of Passover, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be crucified. He even gave them the time period. He even told them when it was going to happen. He says, guys, feast of Passover 2 days. After that, betrayal, crucifixion. It's over. I'm gone. That's what he says here, all right? The truth of the matter is, you know what? Peter should have, listen, folks, by the way, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember? He even communicates again with the inner three when he asks them to watch and pray. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. Watch ye here and pray. He even communicates to them the trouble and the turmoil he's going through, and they know the time is close. They've already had the Last Supper, folks. They know the time's close. They know, man, he's getting betrayed here in just a few minutes. He's going to the cross here in just the next few hours. They know that. And yet what happens here in John chapter 18? What happens here? Peter takes out his sword and he cuts off this guy's ear, trying to stop Jesus from accomplishing the purpose for which he came. Listen, folks, if that's not a foolish decision, I don't know what is. Trying to stop the Lord Jesus Christ from going through with the cross? That's foolish to me, all right? Especially when Jesus had already communicated to him what was going to happen, all right? Peter here, his decision to pull that sword and begin fighting these men was a rash and an unwise decision. By the way, listen, folks, I'm glad he wanted to fight for Jesus. But you know what? Instead of fighting with his sword, fighting the right battle the wrong way, he should have done his fighting back there in the Garden of Gethsemane on his knees in prayer. Listen, folks, you want to fight for the Lord Jesus Christ? Obey his commands. Do what he tells you to. By the way, listen, folks, Jesus told him to take a sword, didn't he? Did Jesus ever command him to take it out and start fighting? No, he did not. Listen, folks, the truth of the matter is here. Peter, he makes a very foolish and a very unwise decision. By the way, listen, folks, it's interesting to me. When a Christian allows pride, remember that first step of pride? When a Christian allows pride into their heart, it's amazing how these steps just start to roll and roll and roll very, very quickly, all right? It's amazing how quickly the rest of these steps manifest themselves in Christians' lives. Listen, folks, the truth of the matter is Peter here, and I'm going to get into this here in just a few minutes, but this is all happening in a very short time frame. This is happening in a very short time frame here, right? Let me give you the next thing. Number four, Brother Gerald, what's the next step on Peter's way down? What's the next step? Number four, we're almost halfway there. Number four, following afar off. Following afar off. The very next thing that Peter boasted he would never do, he's about to do that. He's now quickly approaching fulfilling the command and the prophecy that Jesus had just told him he was going to do. You guys know the story. The disciples are with Jesus in the garden. We're going to be in Matthew 26 again. The disciples are with Jesus in the garden. The band of men come with swords and staves to arrest Jesus and to lead him to Caiaphas. The Bible then says in Matthew 26, verse 57, look what it says here, Matthew 26, 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Verse 58, look what it says. Next six words. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. There's the next step right there, folks. Listen, when you allow pride to enter, when you give into that attitude of ease in your Christian life, when you begin to tolerate foolishness and unwise actions and unwise attitudes in your life, whether or not you know it or not, whether or not you realize it or not, whether or not you accept it or not, whether or not you realize it, you know what you're doing? You're following him afar off. You're following him afar off, all right? That's where Peter's at here, all right? Peter's following Christ afar off. He's keeping his eye on him, but from a distance, all right? So many Christians, they, you know what? They're in the same position. They're in the same position. They're following Christ, but they don't want to get too close. They're following Christ, but you know what? They don't want other people really thinking that they're that much in depth into it. They're following Christ afar off. They're following Christ, but you know what? They don't want to be labeled one of them fanatical, crazy Christians by their carnal, wicked friends who they're secretly trying to impress. They're following him afar off, all right? They're inwardly still following Christ to a degree, but outwardly they're ashamed to be associated with him because of how other people might think about it. You guys with me? Should have gone for the encouraging one, right? No, I'm just kidding with you. No, this is what the Lord has for us, folks. Let's get it tonight, all right? Let's get it tonight. By the way, I'm not talking about the liberals tonight. Listen, folks, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, 66 caliber, King James only. Yeah, I'm talking about us, all right? Yeah, us Bible believers, us Bible preachers. Listen, folks, you know what? Peter was about as separate as you can get. Walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? He's taking these steps down, 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 all right? Listen, folks, by the way, this is amazing here. All right, this is amazing here. Are you following Christ afar off? Listen, folks, if you do, you know what? We only got seven steps. What's the seventh step? Remember, he's denying. He's saying, you know what? I don't even know him. I don't even know who he is. I don't know what you're talking about. Listen, folks, when you get to this step of falling afar off, you're not that far away from where Peter was at on the rock bottom. All right? Now listen, number five. Here we go. We're getting close to the end here, right? Don't start putting your shoes on yet, though. Number five. What's the next step here? His fall's not complete yet, all right? Number five, evil associations. Evil associations. Turn back to John 18. Are you there? John 18. I'm having you flip back and forth because I want you to see what's happening. I want you to see it. Don't take my word for it. See it for yourself and understand what the Word of God says. Where does Peter turn to? Listen, when he's following Christ afar off now, he's keeping Jesus in eyeshot and in earshot, but you know what? He's not following him closely. You know what happens then? The next step is this, evil associations. Where does his fellowship turn to? When he leaves fellowship with the Savior, his fellowship then turns to evil associations. By the way, let me just say this statement. Any association that takes the place of your association with Christ is an evil association. Listen, folks, Christ is to be preeminent in all things in our life. That means, you know what, my relationship with Him is more than my relationship with my wife back there. You know, the way for us to grow close together as a couple is for us to individually grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's get this tonight, all right? John chapter 18, verse number 8. Actually, look at verse number 15. This is amazing to me. This is amazing. Look at what happens here. Do you guys know that John the Beloved, when Peter's following afar off, did you know that John the Beloved's actually following with him? He's right there with him, all right? Look what happens here. Verse 15, this is amazing to me. John 18, verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus. That's just what we were talking about, following afar off. That's what he's talking about here, same time here, chronological order. But notice what it says, though. When Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. What book are we in? John. Who's the writer of John? John. Do you know anything about John? Whenever he mentions himself in his book, he never mentions himself by name. He always says that other disciple, another disciple, the other one. He always says something like that. Who's he talking about here when he says, and so did another disciple? He's talking about John the Beloved. All right? So John the Beloved here is following Jesus just like Peter's following Jesus here. Look at where John was, though. Look at where John was, though. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest. Look at where John went. And went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Where was Peter at? Falling afar off. Where was John at? Right next to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right next to him, all right? Peter followed afar off. John was right there next to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was right there in the room with him. He wouldn't let Jesus even get out of his grabbing distance, man. He wanted to be right there close to him. Notice what happens next, though. Verse 16. Look at verse 16. Pay attention to what happens here. But Peter stood at the door without. He's fallen afar off. Then went out that other disciple. Who's that talking about? John. John goes out, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. All right, John goes out there and he says to this girl that's watching the door, he said, hey, you see that guy out there? You see that guy that's out there standing by the door? Hey, you go out there and tell him to come on in here and be with me and Jesus. That's exactly what happens here. Look at the decision Peter makes. When this girl comes out to him and asks him if he wants to go in to the room and be with Jesus and be with John, verse 17, then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I'm not. Don't miss this. Listen, folks, you know what? Peter made a conscious decision. Peter made a conscious decision to not be where Jesus was at. Are you guys getting this tonight? You guys seeing this tonight? He made a conscious decision. You know what? I know Jesus is in there. I know John's in there. They've just come out there and they've just asked me if I want to go in there and be with them. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. All I got like Christian young people don't want to be around the authority. Don't throw stuff. Authority's close. You know where the young people are? I ain't being there. That's another sermon for chapel. Listen, folks, by the way, where's the landum here? Evil associations. Look what happens. When he follows Jesus, he makes a conscious decision to not be where Jesus is at. Look at where it lands him. Verse 18, evil associations. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now let me help you here. Peter here is following Christ afar off. Now he is in association with evil and wicked men. He is hanging around the fire with the same men who had helped bring Jesus in. That's who these guys were. Who would Caiaphas and these other leaders send to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? They would send their officers and their leaders. That's who they would send. They would send their servants and their officers, the police officers of the day, the MP of the day. That's who they would send to get him. Because in their mind, Jesus is a criminal. So Peter here, he's actually warming himself at the fire with the same people who helped bring Jesus in from the Garden of Gethsemane to Caiaphas. That's what he's doing here. Verse 18, look at it. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. These servants and officers had been out in the cold night for several hours. Now listen, folks, it took a little while because, you know what, they didn't have buggies, they didn't have gators, they didn't have cars, they didn't have, you know, police vehicles to go out there and rush out with their lights. They went out by foot. Took a little while to get out there to Garden of Gethsemane, track Jesus down to Garden of Gethsemane, arrest him and bring him back in. You know what, they're cold. What do you do when you're cold? You start a fire and get warm. Or you go into the heat and get warm, all right? Listen, folks, you cannot... Let me make a statement here. Peter, instead of going in with Jesus, he chooses to join right along with these people out there to fire. Folks, you cannot leave. Don't miss this. You cannot leave a close personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and not have it affect you negatively. Doesn't happen. When you say, you know what, Jesus, I'm not going to spend time in your word this morning, I'm not going to spend time in prayer this morning, you know what, you are just about to enter into an evil association with somebody. You're going to, all right? Listen, folks, by the way, examine who your associations are. I'm not talking about the people you work with. You can't do anything about that. Me and Brother Chad, we worked at Sears with some wicked people. We couldn't do anything about it. It was our job. I'm not talking about people you go to school with, especially if you go to Christian school, evil associate. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Or go to church with? No. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people who, when you have free time, those are the people you choose to spend time with. What kind of person are they? Do they pull you up or they drag you down? Evil associations, all right? Listen, folks, who are your compadres? We don't use that word a lot enough. Who are your compadres, all right? Who are your comrades, all right? Are they spiritual? By the way, listen, if you have carnal and worldly friends that you've chosen to associate with, that's a good indication of where you are spiritually. These young people, you know what? You got wicked associations. You know what? Shows me where your heart is. Shows me where your heart is, young ladies. Who you texting on the phone? Shows me where your heart is. All right? By the way, I'd cut the texting out completely. Don't throw stuff. Number six, here we go. What's the next step? We're not done yet. Two more steps. Here's the next step quickly. Open denial. Open denial. Stay in John chapter 18. Again, we're talking about the next chronological thing that Peter does here in this account. Open denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you knew this was coming. You know the story. By the way, listen, folks, you know what happens whenever you begin associating with evil and wicked people? Listen very carefully. You know what happens when you get around that wrong crowd? You know what happens when you begin hanging around with those worldly and carnal people? You know what? You begin walking like them. You begin talking like them. You begin acting like them. You begin smelling like them. You begin looking like them. You begin mimicking everything that they do. That's what happens. It's exactly what happens here with Peter. Look at John 18, verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Peter's standing there around the fire with these folks that made up the multitude that came to get Jesus in the garden. He's standing there warming himself with them. Somebody asked Peter. They begin to study him. They begin to look at him. Hey, man, I saw you out there when Jesus was working on them miracles. Hey, I saw you out there in the garden. I was out there and I brought Jesus in. You look like one of them guys that was right there. You look like the one that actually drew that sword out and cut off Malchus's ear. Is that you? Are you him? Are you he? All right. Are you the same guy? He replies, I am not. I am not. Peter here, listen very carefully. Peter here 100% completely denies ever having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, folks, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. You're saying, Brother Gerald, there's no way in the world that I can get to that same spot. Did you just say that in your mind? Brother Gerald, there's no way I'm going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way I'm going to let that happen in my life. Let me give you something here. There's something about this downward progression into the bottom that you need to understand. Let me give you the time frame on this thing. You know how long it took Peter to go from being in that upper room with the Lord Jesus Christ? I will never be offended because of you. I will never... All these are going to be... I'm not. Less than 24 hours. Think about it, folks. Less than 24 hours, sitting at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ, enjoying the fellowship with Him, enjoying the Last Supper, the bread, the juice, the singing the hymns together. Less than 24 hours later, you know what he's doing? He has 100% completely denied having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's unbelievable to me. That's unbelievable. Listen, folks, you know what? It can happen to us. Peter's a better Christian than we are, folks. He's a better Christian than we are. All right? Listen, folks, the truth of the matter is, you know what? You think you're a pretty good Christian? I sing in the choir. I do whatever. I soul win. I teach Sunday school class. I think you're a pretty good Christian. You know what? Less than 24 hours, you can be denying the Lord Jesus Christ, denying you ever knew him. How sad this is. What a tragedy that Peter had this short period of time in his life. You know what? I wish it wouldn't have happened for Peter's sake. Man, I wish this thing wouldn't have happened. But you know what? Thank God, when it did happen, he put it in the scripture for us to be warned about. Number seven, let me give you the last thing quick, and we're done. Hey, look, it ain't even 8 o'clock yet. Are you kidding me? I'm like Dr. Arnold. Remember Dr. Lewis Arnold, this is so funny. CBC people would understand this, and nobody else would. When Dr. Arnold comes to Claysboro Baptist Church to preach, everybody applauds because they know they're getting out before 8 o'clock. I'm telling you, that's the truth, all right? You can ask anybody down there, it's the truth. We're going to get out a little bit after 8, but not very far. Number 7, here's the last step. What's the last step that Peter took in his fall? Number 7, blasphemy. Mark chapter 14, quickly. Mark chapter 14. Quickly, hurry. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Sorry, we stopped at Mark. Mark chapter 14. What a sad thing that I have to actually give you this last point. I wish I did not have to give you this last point, but listen, folks, I can't ignore it. By the way, listen, folks, you know what? I pray none of us ever get to this point in our life. I pray we never get here. Listen, folks, if you're on this downward path tonight, if you're at pride or any one of the steps, if you're on that tonight and you've realized and the Holy Spirit's, you know, sat there and knocked in your heart and told you you're there, you need to turn around and head back, man. You know, come home. Come home to him. Turn around, Jesus, man, I'm sorry. God, would you forgive me for being on this path down just like Peter was? You know what? Because you don't want to get here. You do not want to get here to blasphemy, folks. You don't want to get there. It's the last step in Peter's fall here is blasphemy against the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me define blasphemy quickly for you. Blasphemy is actually defined in two ways. Number one, first of all, it's claiming the attribute of deity. Basically saying, I'm God. I'm just like God, yada, yada, yada. That's one definition of blasphemy. If I can get my paper out here, let me give you the second one. By the way, Peter doesn't do that here. That's not the blasphemy that he commits here. Here's the second definition of blasphemy, though. Blasphemy is the act of insulting or showing contempt or a lack of reverence for Jehovah God of heaven. Think about that. By the way, listen, folks, all these TV shows that's on primetime nowadays that a lot of Christians are watching that they ought not be watching. Every single thing that goes on there, you know what they're doing? They're insulting God, they're showing contempt for God, and they're lacking reverence for God. You know what they're doing? They're blaspheming God. What are you doing watching it? What are you doing watching it? It's another sermon for another day. Mark chapter 14, verse 67. Look what it says here. This is just what we read in John 18. Peter's warming himself here by the fire. Same chronological order. Look at the last step here. Mark 14, verse 67. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him. Mark 14, verse 67. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch and the cock crew. That's what we just looked at in the last point. But notice this last step now here in verse 69. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after they that stood by him said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth. Hey, you're even talking like one of his disciples. Verse 71, here it is. Here it is. The act of insulting, showing contempt, or lack of reverence for God. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, As he is cursing and swearing, what does he say? As he is cursing and swearing, who does he say this about? I know not this man of whom ye speak. blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it, folks? Do you see it there? That's exactly what he does. Peter curses and he swears that he does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. No, doesn't even know who he is. I don't even know who you're talking about. He curses and he swears that he's not one of Christ's disciples. Peter here commits the sin of blasphemy towards the Son of God. He acts in an insulting fashion to God. He shows a contempt for the Lord Jesus Christ. He displays a lack of reverence for God. I didn't say it, folks. Not my opinion. The Word of God says it happened. Now listen carefully, and I'll be done here in 35 seconds. The truth is, you know what? Peter's fall is something that can happen to you and I in the same short fashion. You're sitting in church tonight, folks. I mean, listen, you serve God faithfully tonight, folks, just like Peter did. Peter's in the, he's in the upper room eating supper with Jesus. You've served God faithfully today in the bus ministry. You've served God faithfully today in Sunday school classes and everything else, you guys that went out to the nursing homes. You know what? You're serving God faithfully. By this time tomorrow night, you know what? By this time tomorrow night, what time is it? 8:03, 8:02. By 8:02 o'clock tomorrow evening. That's Julia talk, by the way. 8:02 o'clock, crazy stuff like that, all right? I'm a daddy of a young girl, all right? Help me. Pray. By 8 o'clock tomorrow night, you know where you could be? Blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, you know what? If you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and read your Bible, you're in trouble. If you're not going to stay close to Him and your Bible reading and prayer time tomorrow morning, you know what? You're in trouble. Listen, folks, you know what? You allow pride in your heart, it's the first step. If you just sat there when I just said that, and you said, that can't happen to me. That can't happen to me, Brother Gerald. 8 o'clock tomorrow, you know what? I'm going to be serving God faithfully. That can't happen to me. That's impossible for that to happen to me. You're already on step number one. By the way, where were you soul winning yesterday? Oh, Brother Gerald, I had some stuff at home I had to take care of. You understand that, right? Okay, yeah, you took the step of ease. And on it goes. Are you with me tonight, folks? Are you with me tonight? Listen, guys, we got to stay humble. We got to keep our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ close and intimate. What a sad story here from the Word of God, but what a tremendous lesson. What a tremendous warning from the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, I kind of feel sorry for Peter. Lord, I wish this would not have happened in his life. Lord, what a sad thing. Lord, he's got this little time period, Lord, in his life where he, Lord, goes from a close, intimate relationship with you, Lord, to now he's denied the Lord Jesus Christ, open denial to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now, Lord, he's blasphemed your name. Lord, I don't want to get there. Lord, I know I can get there, but Lord, I don't want to get there. Lord, I know these folks, Lord, they can get there, but Lord, I pray that there be something on the inside of them, Lord, want to come up here and just say, God, I don't want to get there. Lord, I'm not going to get there. Lord, help me not to get there. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.